Blog Talk Radio.
Evening, and welcome to the Now Gathering. And today we're going to talk about God of new things. God of new things. And we will be dealing with Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. And we will read that scripture. And then we will have a discussion. Discussion is going to be around contemporary application. This is an applied ministry, applied word. Now, let us pray. Almighty everlasting Creator, we give you thanks, we give you praise, and we ask that your Holy Spirit speak to us in a way that what we say, the words that we use, will be clear and will bring joy and peace and comfort to the hearers. And let us, let them, as they read, let the Holy Spirit speak to them and lead them into all truth. So now let us move to Isaiah 43, 18, 19. God of New Things is our title today. And I'm getting over a cold. So I'll probably be coughing a little bit. But let us read now. Those of you who are listening with your Bible or your smartphone, let's go to the scripture and see how that applies to our daily living or how we can apply it to our daily living. And also what obstacles there are that are trying to prevent us from applying it. The scripture reads as follows. Forget the former things. That is the command. God is speaking now. He said, forget the former things. Then he says, do not dwell on the past. So now that's just two commands. I'm calling them commands because I found that's what I found them to be. Forget the former things. Now, if we just take that, and then I want you to think about the things that have passed, the former things. And I want you to think about it and then see how they still impact you do today. And then he makes it another statement. Do not dwell on the past. Former things and past. Do not dwell on the past. So it appears as if God has said that taking place 2 years ago is still impacting or influencing us today. And some of that influence may not be applicable to what is happening now. And then he goes on to say, verse 19, why is he telling us that we shouldn't dwell on the past? Why we shouldn't look at form of things. Because what he's getting ready to say now, he says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Not a new normal, but a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. And then he goes on even further. He said, now it spring up. What springs up? The new thing that he's doing. If we go back to verse 18, if we are focusing on the former things and dwelling on the past, we will not see the new thing that he's doing because we are preoccupied with what has happened. And a lot of us, we don't even think about it. Past has an impact or some kind of stranglehold on us. And we begin to see things through the lens of the past. And if the former things were not pleasing to us, the present not going to be pleasing to us if that's what we're focusing on. Now, let's go on. He says, I'm doing a new thing. Not at all. Keeping you in the past. New past. Past implies that that's over with. That's old. That's done with. New thing implies that there's something new that's about to happen. When I think of that, I grew up on a farm. I look at the field where we had planted and harvest. And when I look at what was harvest, if I just focus on what the crop was and how we harvested, and I stay stuck there, I would never prepare the soil for a new crop. So he said he's doing a new thing. Now it springs up. And I see that as whenever we plant seed in the ground, same ground that a crop was harvested from a year ago, and now we got a new seed that sprouts up. It's coming up out of the earth. And he says, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not recognize that this is new and as work that you have to do to cultivate it in order for it to produce a product? Because see, now if we didn't perceive that that was a new plant or whatever we had planted to put down that planet, we wouldn't, what would we do? We would not nurture it so that it would produce a new crop. What else is he saying? He said, I am making a way. So what does he he's making it clear. He says, I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Wilderness. When you think of a wilderness, it's a field that's not been cleared. And then everything is growing in that field. But making a new way means that you went out and you harvest, you took and you plowed it under, you prepared it for a new thing. And the wasteland. Think of a wasteland. What did he say? He said, and streams flew in the wasteland. So in order for the crop to grow, you need water. And I think back on what's happening now in the United States, in the western part of the state, and how water is becoming scarce. How they diverted the rivers and created a stream in the desert where water wasn't available, so they couldn't grow any crops there, but now they're able to. So that's, and I'm going to read it again too, and I want you to read it for yourself. This is something that God has given me about since the early 90s. Isaiah 43:18-19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing now. It springs up. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And he goes on, I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. But I'm suggesting that you put it in context and read the first 18 and then read the next 20 to the end and see how that fits into what God was saying. He is. Can we see that God is the God of a new thing? Think about it. Whenever we read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and forward, everything was null and void. He did a new thing then. He said, can you see that him, he being the God of new things? This is what he wants. He wants to make all things new. Think about it. We say that Jesus came and brought salvation. What does that mean? He came from what was to what is, or what the potential it could be. What was, we were into disobedience, sin, if we want to call it that, or disobedience, or disobeying God, disobeying authority, and that put us in not a good stead, a good place with God in terms of relationship with him. So, because he cared for us, he loved us, so that he didn't want us to perish. And he chose Jesus to reconcile us back to him. Okay, now I want you to just think about it. Now, I'm not here to tell you anything that you need to do. I just want to challenge you, what it is you believe, what it is you say, and see if it lines up with the Word of God, and see how you apply it to your daily living. Or maybe you can't. So, he wants, when I say he, God, Elohim, he wants us to realign our soul, mind, our heart with his. You see, he calls you, call, but few are chosen. If we don't recognize that him when he calls, then what We don't recognize it, and we're missing out on something. All right. Now, today, let's just go to today. We've been through a pandemic, and we had to deal with something that this generation had never seen or experienced before. Remember, I'm talking about something that took place in 1916, which was similar, but here we're faced with something that was deadly, something that was taking your life. And what did he do? Gave, put in man's spirit, man's mind, the ability to create, to make, because we don't create, only God creates, make a vaccine that would deal with what what this pandemic, this virus that was out there, because see, you can't kill a virus. Ain't no point in you trying. You're not going to kill it. A virus is like a person that's strung out on something. It keeps for more, and it doesn't go away. It just mutates. It changes. Now, God, how does God comfort us? If we take a moment and just think about this, can you be comforting and a comforter in this scripture? Can you see any of God's promises? We can see many promises that come directly out of the scripture. One, the first one, he says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Now, how is that a promise? If you don't do that, how you're not going to recognize the new thing that he's doing. And number one, what else does that do? That asserts his authority. It let me know that, hey, I have authority to make this happen. I'm not just whistling Dixie. I am a God of authority. And if you see, let's just take this new thing and new normal. New normal. The new normal doesn't allow us to move past where we were. Talking about going backwards. Going back. We got to go back to the new normal. If we go back to the new normal, we're going to make some of the same mistakes that we made before. And that negates God's ability to bring about change. And that's what this scripture is all about, change. Don't be afraid of change. And he made it clear that he has authority. Does idols have authority? No. Why? Because idols, what people make idols out of, is part of what God creates, God's creation. And if you put this in the context that this is written in, what do we see? To deliver his people from Babylon, and to redeem them. When you really think about it, what is he doing for us now? He delivered us. He delivered us from the pandemic. And as a result of that, we have been redeemed from the evil that accompanied the pandemic. And then you go on. What else? If you had stayed back there and said there was something that took place there, you were disobedient. He is willing to forgive you, didn't do. And but think about it. He says, forget former things. Do not dwell on the past. If you forget former things and you're not dwelling on the past, the past, he has wiped away the past. Now he's prepared to give you a new thing. And as we read scripture, we don't just read it like it was just for us. It wasn't. It was for them. And it dealt with what they were going through at that time. Forgiveness is all part of that. And he also deals with it. That's why if you read the whole chapter, he deals with the destruction that's going to take place if you hold on to the past, because he sees where that is leading you. And you think about it. You just think about what took place in the past. As you think about it, you begin to understand why God spoke to the Israelites the way he did, and why God is speaking to us today the way he is. See, we are his people, and he cares for his people, and he's in the process of all this evil. We went through a pandemic. Did we learn anything? Are we better off today than we were before we went through it? That's the question that only you individually can answer. But we as a nation, a lot of people don't understand that the nation is the people, not the land, but the people, geographical area, but the people. What did we learn from going through the pandemic? Did we learn how to lie? Did we learn how to cheat? Did we learn how to steal? Or did we learn how to care for others? I want us to think about all of this. See, but we enter idolatry. There's something to think about. See, ministry is not just people jumping up and down telling you what to think or giving you a bunch of feel-good sermons or talks. It's not about feeling good. Example, before I really found salvation, I would go to church on Sunday and come out of there with an emotional high. And by Wednesday, I lost everything. And then I started questioning God. What have I done? Question God and question myself. What have I done? Evidently, I committed all these sins between Sunday and now because I don't feel this anymore. So, it's not about a feeling. Feeling. Feeling comes, feeling goes. And the enemy knows that, the devil, he plays that, the feeling card. If you look at how politicians use it, how pastors use it, how people in authority, think about how the commercials on TV or radio, most of them appeal to your feelings as opposed to appealing to your mind where you were able to sit and analyze things. But God of new things. Think about it. Think about the rest of the week and see what the scriptures say to you. Now, we have really only got down to a third of the message for the day. And this, we're going to call this part one. We're going to pick up next week. And we're going to pick up where God reveals his interest or his love or his investment. We're going to look at it in those terms. And that's where we're going to pick up and begin to look at it from those terms and the people. So he has expect a return. And it's just like you invest your money in something, you expect a return and you watch it grow or you change it or you do whatever's necessary to keep it from keep you from losing your resources. So, like I said, we're going to pick from there next week. And we're going to go forward. And I want you to think about it. See, I don't want you to only think, oh, this stuff is a spiritual investment. God invest. Where do you think you got the term from? How do you think you gain the knowledge of that term, of that process? It was revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, beginning next Saturday, the Sabbath day at 5:00, we will pick up where we left off and address the rest of this investment and return. So long.